It's time!
The shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Cheecher right in front, and what a stop on Ekman by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios. And unfortunately, all good things must come to an end. And the Predators' 18-game point streak came to an end last night. They fell to the Arizona Coyotes on the road 8-4. And joining us now to break it all down is Chris Mason. C. Mays, it was a tough one last night. It's almost like, okay, we got an 18-game point streak, and you've beaten Stanley Cup contenders along the way. You've beaten Colorado. You've beaten Vegas. You've beaten Florida in their own arena. Kind of a stinker right now. But just from your perspective, what's kind of the vibe, do you think, maybe going on in the locker room, maybe the feeling of the team right now? I mean, an 18-game point streak, you've got to be feeling confident. You've got to be feeling on top of the world. But after a game last night, what's the mentality?
I think, honestly, I saw the guys after the game. It's kind of water off their back. I feel this group feels so good about their game and how they have an understanding of how they need to play to have success that it's understandable. And although it does, suck as a player, you lose that streak, it's not the big picture. I don't know this for sure, but it might be a little bit of a relief to have that over with. And, last night was a prime example of, they come out flying. I thought they were going to run away with that game, but I think they thought that too, because the first, 5-6 minutes, they were just all over the Coyotes. The Coyotes weren't even, they didn't even look like they were on the same, not even close to the same level as the Preds. But I think the Preds got, they thought the same thing. And then they kind of lowered the way that they were playing. Arizona responded. And then, it was back and forth. And, I think Arizona was obviously the better team probably from then on out. And, Juice didn't have his A game. He didn't have his A stuff. There's no question about that. But, it sucks to lose a streak like that. But at the same time, I think I just think it's better now with, the amount of games they have left and right at the end of the season, but that's just me.
Does it almost feel in the weirdest way like it could be a weight off their shoulders?
I think so. I really do. I think it's just, it becomes about that, right? It's all about the streak, and it is awesome. And, it was an amazing run, and it was something special. But I think it deflects the story and the feeling about the playoffs. And, you carry that around in every single game. It's like, okay, we're at 18, we got to go to 19, we got to go to 20. And then, I think it is a relief. I think as a player, it would be, you never want to lose a game. There's no doubt about it. But once it's over, then you don't have to talk about it anymore, because that's all we've talked about, because it has been so fun and it's been, a special time, I think, especially with the way the seasons went and the way it's kind of progressed and come along. But now you can shift your focus, and you don't have to talk about that streak anymore. You can talk about, getting in, making sure you secure your playoff spot for one, because that's not written in stone yet. There's a different focus now. And then, it's about who you're going to play. There's still so many different teams they could play once they get in the playoffs, but get their game back and then just see if, make sure that was a one-off, because Colorado is going to be a tough game tomorrow. So they've got to be ready for this. And I'm interested to see how they respond after losing that game.
And I think we all are, Chris Mays, even, Predator fans are wondering how this team will bounce back. We had a caller call in yesterday, Adam. He was hoping that the Predators lose because he wanted to see how they bounce back after a loss. And I'm sure there are a facet of Pred fans that looked at that game last night and thought, okay, finally, we got that over with. Now we can stop concentrating on that and look forward to concentrate on, getting into the playoffs and make some noise in the playoffs. But put me in the headspace of a goalie. After a situation like that, when you've been playing so well throughout the second half of the season. And then you have a game like that with a team that, you know, isn't going anywhere. But, you know, you come out, you go up two goals early, and then all of a sudden it's this on. It's like this tidal wave of goals just coming. What is going through a goalie's mind when that happens?
Oh, you're just, it's so frustrating, and you can just tell, like, you just, it's one of those times you show up and you've been feeling so good, and then that night you don't have it. You don't have, you know, your A stuff, and I'm not going to make excuses for Juice at all, but sometimes when you go play in an arena like that, I don't know why, they've always had trouble in Arizona, whether it's that arena or the one out in Glendale. But it doesn't feel like an NHL game. The crowd is great there, actually. But, you know, it's an arena that holds 5,000 people. It seems like, you know, every time you go there, it's like an exhibition game. And I don't know. You just don't, for whatever reason, that arena and that team there is giving them trouble. But I think Juice, I always say this too, and Pekka, that the best guys in the world are really good at putting a performance like that behind them and then bouncing back and bringing, their A game. And I think Juice has shown over his career that's one of the things he excels in, is being able to not let one bad performance turn into, you know, two or three or four. But, you know, this season there's been some challenges in that regard. It's been very up and down, but I think that, you know, now that he's kind of got his, play going and he's been awesome lately, I think that'll just be, along with the team, just a one-off for him. But, it sucks. You know, you let in goals you haven't let in a long time. But again, you just have to chalk it up to it. It's one of those nights. It happens to everybody. You can't have your best game every single night. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely. We're talking with Chris Mason, one half of the broadcasting team for the Nashville Predators. What happened in that second period? Because it seems like that's when they lost the game, that second period. The Coyotes had, what, six more shots at goal than the Predators. But what did you see in that second period that just basically lost the game for the Predators?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, they got that penalty that too many men called against them. It wasn't. It was a tough call. And Arizona scored, and that building just went crazy. And I just think they took all the momentum. And it was just, you know, the Predators weren't able to recover from that. And I think, Arizona they're feeding off their crowd. They're feeding off of their, you know, storylines. Their season's almost over. So, you know, it sucks. You got to find something to play for. You're not playing for playoffs. You're playing for those kind of moments. They had Josh Doan get called up the other night. He's a son of one of the, a legend of the Arizona Phoenix Coyote era. And he scores two goals in his first game. He gets, two assists last game. He's getting breakaways, getting chances, playing really well. And they've got a lot of good young players. And I think for the first time in a long time, in my opinion, I think that fan base really has something to be excited about. And I just think that they got the momentum and they just didn't give it back. They played really well. They played hard. You could tell they really wanted to. That was their Stanley Cup, if you will. You're going to knock off the Predators, the hottest team in the NHL. And I just think they, at the end of the day, they wanted to win that game a little bit more than the Predators, and I think it showed.
And I heard you guys mention that, you and Willie, on air about, you know, Coyotes, they don't have anything to play for, but, you know, these last, you know, 10 games or whatnot, they get an opportunity to knock teams off that could be going to the playoffs or are going to the playoffs. So that's sort of their mission, just to chip away at teams. We know we're not going anywhere, but we want to knock these teams off in our, you know, that are in our path toward the end of the season. They're going to the playoffs, but for us, it's a feather in our cap to say we beat the Nashville Predators.
Exactly. And you got young players trying to prove themselves. They're trying to, you know, make an impression, on the coaching staff and, you know, the general manager for next season, say, hey, this kid can play this. You know, we're going to have to look at him and, you know, slot him in or project him in this spot. We don't have to address this in free agency because, you know, he's proving that he can play, at this level. So there's those things to play for too. And I think when you're getting up for a game, you're exactly right, D-Mace. Like, you're in the room, you're not playing for playoffs. You're playing for, hey, let's beat these guys. Let's rain on their parade, wreck their, everyone's talking about Nashville, let's go out and destroy their fun or whatever. And that's exactly what they did. So you got to give them credit. They played really good. Like, it wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't just a bad game by the Predators. The Coyotes played really well.
Talking to Chris Mason, and Mason looking at a couple of developments in these last couple of days. Dallas has won six in a row, and they've taken the overall lead in the West at 101 points. The Jets have had a little bit of a sag here. They've gone 4-5-1 in their last 10 games. And then I'm looking all of a sudden, I had not considered this, but Edmonton looks like they're starting to get their game back, which is very scary, right? And I'm looking at them and Vancouver. Edmonton is 6 points behind them, but they've got two games in hand. Is it possible that Edmonton could catch Vancouver? And we've been looking at this all along. Maybe we consider Edmonton as a possible first-round opponent for the Predators.
Well, it's crazy. My head just exploded listening to you dissect even more scenarios than there were before. it's crazy. You're right, though. It's just nuts. And, you know, you look at the possibility of the Predators catching Winnipeg, you know, and sliding into the third spot in the Central, then that would mean they would either play Colorado or Dallas, however that ends up, and go in that route instead of, you know, depending on if they end up playing a Pacific team or if they end up playing a team in the Central with one of the wild card spots. It's just, there's just too many scenarios to even, you know, contemplate right now. But pretty much any of those teams you mentioned, the Predators could play in the first round. So it's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm now mentally taking a look at Edmonton to see what could happen. And the Predators could use Edmonton's help. They play St. Louis on Monday. And every game that St. Louis loses will give me a little bit more of relief. Because until you have that X, when you get that X next to your name, then you can really have fun with the possibilities. But I think the team may still knows that they've got to make sure they stay on it, because the next couple opponents in Colorado and Boston, they face those top level teams, which they've been able to beat here recently. But they're going to have to, they have no time to sort of wallow in this thing. And so let's start with Colorado, because Colorado at home is definitely a different team than Colorado on the road.
Yeah, they're an absolute powerhouse. You know, if you look at their home record and what Nathan MacKinnon does and whatever, I don't know if it's the altitude or just they play well in that arena. They are a different team. They can just absolutely swarm you. You know, they're fast. They attack like no other, I feel, as a team. Obviously, you know, Edmonton, they've got Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, all those types of players. But just the way that you know, Colorado does it, Cale Makar and Devin Taves in the back end. And they've just, for whatever reason, you know, just it's almost like they seem invincible at home. They lost in a shootout their last game. So I'm very interested to see how, you know, they respond. Nathan MacKinnon had a 35-point home game streak, which is only five away from the record set by Wayne Gretzky. And, you know, then that's the level of play. We're looking at the list of players on that list, and it was like Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, in a completely different era. So Nathan MacKinnon is an absolute hound. He's a dog. He just will attack. And it seems like even more, it seems like he's got even more of a super. So I think, you know, with this being a potential first round team, I think this is a big test. And I think the Predators will, you know, recognize the importance of that game. I think they maybe dipped a little bit in terms of keeping their level of intensity and their junkyard dog mentality throughout that game against the Coyotes, just given the opponent, the situation. I don't think they will. I think they'll get that back against the Avalanche, and then it should turn into a pretty good hockey game, but we'll see. And I'll be interested to see. I think it's a possible game. You could maybe see Lankinen. I think it makes sense for that. Give Saros, you know, an extra game, get that needed rest. And Lankinen's been playing well in those situations too. So it is possible that they could go back to Lankinen. He played well in the third period, but we'll see. I expect a bounce back effort by the Preds.
Man, Lankinen really does just get thrown out to the wolves sometimes, doesn't he? And he always plays well in that kind of situation. But it's like, oh, Stanley Cup contender, big game on the road, toughest place to play in the NHL. Get out there, Kevin. Give us your best.
Oh, yeah. Here you go, Kevin. Have fun. No, but you're right, though. He has done well, and that's just a major compliment to him. And I've been in that role where, you know, you don't play for a couple weeks or whatever the situation is, and all of a sudden – you know, you're getting, oh my God, you're getting the second game against the, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champion or whatever it is. And it is tough. And I find, like, when I was in that situation, and most guys, you get a lot of inconsistencies. You're going to get some games where, you know, the goalie's going to stand on his head and play, you know, unbelievable like Lankinen has. But most of the time, you know, you're going to get those sinkers or those, you know, kind of 50-50 in those situations. And Lankinen has been, he's been good every time. He's answered the bell. And it's really impressive. And it's not easy to be consistent the way that he has in those situations. It's he's a major factor of the Preds' success here and why they're, you know, currently holding down a playoff spot. So good on him.
100%. C-Mace, appreciate your time as always. Have a good call this weekend and safe travels back to Nashville.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you next week. Chris Mason, he's the best. Appreciate his time and appreciate him for stopping by. We've got a bunch of thoughts in our text line, so we are right to you coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on that conversation. And you can tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Toyota Owners 400. Coverage will begin at 5 p.m. with the race starting at 6 p.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 and 106.3 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com.